This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Neil Conan is away. From union halls in Nevada to taco stands in East L.A. to cigar shops in Miami, the presidential candidates know that this election year, a sleeping giant is slowly awakening. The Latino community is the fastest growing group in the U.S., but its electorate has been small and largely Democratic. Now, with increases in citizenship drives, get out the vote campaigns, and a growing population of voting age youth, the Latino electorate has begun to show its political clout, and the Latino vote could play a significant role in some swing states. Today, a look at the diversity and impact of the Latino electorate. Later in the hour, having a midlife crisis? We've got the car for you. But first, the Latino vote. If you are a Latino voter, we want to hear from you. What's important to you in this election? Do race and gender matter in a candidate? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, and the email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. We begin with Paul Taylor. He is acting director of the Pew Hispanic Center, and he joins us from their studio in Washington, D.C. Good to have you with us, Paul.
Nice to be with you. Thanks.
Give us a sense, Paul, what role do you think the Latino vote will play in this election year?
Well, it's a very interesting voter group, and it is poised to play a potentially very significant role. We did a nationwide survey of Latinos late last year, finished about 2 months ago, and there were two or three interesting findings. First of all, on the question of partisan affiliation. We found that of Latinos who are registered to vote, 57% call themselves Democrat or say they lean Democratic. Just 23% call themselves Republican or say they lean Republican. That's a 34 percentage point gap. Now, what's interesting here is that throughout this decade, Republicans have made very significant gains in the Latino vote. We know that President Bush and Karl Rove talked a lot in both of their election campaigns about the importance of this vote. They saw it as a pillar of what they hoped would be a long-term Republican majority. And indeed, President Bush made very significant gains in 2004. He got about 40% of the Latino vote, which was a modern high watermark. It was double, for example, the 20% that Robert Dole had gotten in 1996. What our polling suggests is that after this period in the Bush era of Republican gains, there's now been a little bit of a U-turn. This 34 percentage point gap that I mentioned, we took a similar poll about a year and a half before that in mid-2006, and it was just a 21 percentage point gap. So the Democrats have now widened their gap.
And does the poll explain why? Does the poll give?
Well, we don't explicitly ask why, but we have a number of other questions that from which you can infer some reasons. We asked Latinos which party is doing a better job on illegal immigration. We asked them which party is showing greater concern for Latinos. We asked them whether they think the Bush administration has been helpful or harmful to Latinos. Mm-hmm. And in all three of those questions, either Republicans or the Bush administration score very low. Democrats score better. There are a lot of Latinos who think neither party is doing very well with either the issue of illegal immigration or policies towards Latinos generally. But the Democrats are Republican. There's a very wide gap. And we also know one final thing. We also know that the issue of immigration has risen a lot in importance among Latinos, as it has among the public at large.
And yet, and that was what I was going to ask you about, although it has risen, it is not. It's number four, I think, isn't it,
in
their list of which issues are important?
That is correct. Latinos, as they did in 2004, continue to list the economy, education, health care, crime, some kind of classic pocketbook issues at the top of their list. But comparing what we found this year to what we had found right before the 2004 election, the one issue that has risen considerably to close to those, not quite as high, is immigration.
Yeah. So the other issues are very important, but immigration remains a key issue for Latinos. You would put it that way, I guess.
It does. And in another part of this survey, what we found is Latinos are feeling very vulnerable in the current political and policy environment around the issue of illegal immigration. They believe their lives have gotten worse, specifically their own lives have gotten worse. They believe that the lives of all Latinos are more difficult. One finding we had, half of all Latinos in this country, and this, we're talking about a population group that's 47 million strong, half of all the adults that we surveyed say that they worry that they or a close friend or a family member could be deported. So it gives you one window into the sense of vulnerability that they're feeling.
Yeah. I'd like to bring Luis Clemens into the discussion now. He's the editor of CandidatoUSA.com, an online newsletter about Latino politics. And he joins us on the line from Miami, Florida. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Clemens.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Good to be here.
Let's start out with this issue of immigration. I mean, can you say how it is perceived by Latinos, particularly Latinos who are most likely to vote in this election?
Well, I think one thing I would follow up on Paul's response is regarding the number of Hispanic Republicans who felt that their own party was doing a good job on immigration, and most of them did not. So very clearly, there is a widespread sense among Latino voters that this issue is something that is being used to mask anti-Latino attacks in many cases. That said, there are really very dramatic distinctions among and within Latino voters. If you're Cuban-American in South Florida, if you're
right.
Puerto Rican, if you're Mexican-American, your stance can be very dramatic, and the level of concern that you have about the issue can vary dramatically as well.
Yeah, and this is something that I know from other discussions I've had about Latinos or Hispanics in this country, that there's a great diversity in this group of people. People who come from very different countries, very different backgrounds, and, of course, bring that to our political system. And it's hard to talk about Latinos as one group in a way, as a voting electorate, as a voting group.
I think that's very fair. And certainly I don't think it's accurate to talk about a Latino voting bloc. I don't think there is any such thing. There's clearly a Latino voting group. There are group tendencies. But when you talk about bloc, you really have to talk about smaller groups, such as Cuban-American Republicans in South Florida.
Yeah. So Republicans in Latinos in South Florida are going to vote perhaps very differently than Latinos in L.A.
Well, even within South Florida, where you have a changing demographic within the Latino community, where Cuban-Americans are no longer a dramatic majority of the Hispanics in South Florida. Even there, you're talking about an influx of Mexican-Americans, of Puerto Ricans, of folks from South America. So even in South Florida, you're talking about a changing Latino electorate. And even within the Cuban-American populace, you're talking about differences between those who were born in Cuba and those who were born in the states to Cuban parents, where you see a greater diversity of political opinion and some folks moving towards the Democratic Party.
All right. We are talking about Latino voters and the influence they may have in this election. If you'd like to join our discussion, the number is 800-989-8255, and we're going to take a call now from Robert, and he's calling from Anchorage, Alaska. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I pretty much agree with everything that the señores stated previously. I do want to make a distinction, though, that there was a comment made that the majority of Latinos might vote or would vote for the Clintons, and I'm saying Clintons with an S. I see that there actually is a difference, certainly, and I do agree that we can't really talk about voting as blocks, as a bloc, because it's just not a possibility. However, there is a distinction between the older Latino and whether he's immigrated to America or whether he's a natural born American of whatever descent. But you find that with the younger Latinos, Chicanos, Puerto Ricans, etc., that a lot of them are looking at Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at Barack Obama because he is a person who, in a lot of the young people that I've discussed politics with, have believes that he has not been tainted by the system.
Robert, would you put yourself in that category, a young Latino?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And you're saying that others that you talk with are veering in that direction.
I really believe so. I think there's going to be two distinctive ways that the vote will be split. I think you're going to find that the younger population is going to vote for change because they believe that Barack Obama represents change.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find that the older Hispanic or Latino population is possibly going to vote for the Clintons because, you know, of, quote, experience. But there's a lot of suspicion and there's also a lot of mistrust among the young Latinos in the U.S. Because of the fact that, you know, the Clintons, they're part of the establishment. And
right.
That's what I keep hearing over and over again from these young people, 21, 18, and above. And I think that's something that certainly is going to be a factor in this election.
All right, Robert, thanks so much for your call.
And thank you very much.
Let me ask Paul Taylor, did you look into that sort of generational divisions within the Latino electorate?
No, it's very hard to pick that up from this survey. We did ask, and remember, this survey was in the field about 2 months ago, and a lot has happened
right.
in the last 2 months in both party primaries. But we did measure among Latinos who were Democrats their preferences. And Hillary Clinton had a very heavy edge. I think she was at 59%. Barack Obama was second at 15%. Bill Richardson was then still in the race. He was at third at 8%, and Edwards at 4%. That is really a snapshot at the beginning of the race, the intense part of the race, rather than, I'm sure, where we are now, which is in a very different place. So to some degree, it may just be measuring party name identification. But with such a heavy number for Hillary Clinton, there weren't that many distinctions by age.
All right, we're going to have more with Paul Taylor and Luis Clemens in a moment. We're talking about the Latino vote. If you are a Latino voter, we want to hear from you. What's important to you in this election? Do race and gender matter? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, or send us an email. The address is talk@npr.org. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Nevada's caucuses are coming up this weekend. Florida has its primary at the end of the month, and most of the states in the Southwest hold their primaries on February 5th. And much of the focus heading into these states is on Latino voters. That's what we're talking about today. If you are a Latino voter, give us a call. Tell us what's important to you. 800-989-8255 or send us an email to talk@npr.org. Our guests today are Paul Taylor, Acting Director of the Pew Hispanic Center, and Luis Clemens. He's the editor of CandidatoUSA.com, an online newsletter covering Latino politics. And before we go to the phones, Luis Clemens, I wanted to get your take on this, the caller we just heard from who is a young Latino saying that what he's hearing, I guess, from his friends, people around his age, is that they're going to go for Barack Obama because they want change. And that sort of reflects something that's going on in the larger culture with regard to Barack Obama, that a lot of young voters are heading in that direction. What's your take on the generational divide within the Latino voting bloc?
Well, I think there is clearly a generational divide, and when you talk about young Latinos, they're young first, Latino second. And clearly, Senator Barack Obama has had a great deal of success appealing to young people. That said, something that Paul mentioned in terms of name recognition, I think is a very real factor, especially coming up in the super-duper Tuesday primaries on February 5th. You're looking at the first time that Latino voters have a real opportunity to heavily influence who the Democratic nominee might be. And I think if we were talking about a longer process by which Senator Barack Obama could continue introducing himself to the Latino community, you might get a different sort of level of support over a period of months. But in the short term, I think we're likely going to see Hillary Clinton have much higher support among Latinos across the board.
Let me ask you about the influence of Latino voters. It really is very geographic, and we're talking about, aren't we talking about maybe three or four truly key states where they could swing the vote in one direction or another?
I think potentially, again, we're talking about possibilities. We're not talking about anything definite, and so much can happen between now and February 5th that it's not clear how it will play out. Key in that role will be Latino voter turnout, and that starts off with the Florida Republican primary on January 29th, where if there's a hefty percentage of Cuban-American Republicans going to the polls, that could heavily favor Rudy Giuliani. When you're talking about February 5th, you're talking New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California. There you're talking about a lot of Latino voters in those states, which could have a significant impact. They could, if they turn out in significant numbers and demonstrate a lopsided preference in favor of one Democratic candidate or another, that could tip the balance.
And if I could just add, where the state geography gets very interesting is in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are famously a country, or have been for the last two election cycles anyway, of red states and blue states, and not too many states contested among the presidential candidates. But if you look at the small universe of battleground states, what you find is that Latinos are heavily represented in them, particularly some of the states of the Southwest, New Mexico, Florida, Nevada, New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado, and then Florida. Those four states are states that President Bush carried by 5 percentage points mm-hmm. or fewer in 2004. And were there to be a shift of in the Latino vote away from the Republican nominee, there is enough electoral clout there in and of itself, and obviously lots of other things will also be changing at the same time, to potentially shift the balance in those four very closely contested states. So this is a big deal on February 5th for both Republican and Democratic candidates in some of these states, but it will be a big deal once again in November.
Interesting. Let's take a call now. We're going to go to Robert, and he is calling from Salt Lake City. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I am a Dominican-American who actually grew up in New York, and my family came to the States from the Dominican Republic. My grandma came here, and she had to sit in line about 10 years before she could get residency and petition for my mother and so on and so forth. So when I hear that that immigration is a big issue among Latinos, and I talk to my family and a lot of friends who are also Cuban-Americans and Mexican-Americans, to us, the big issue happens if you are here illegally or not. It is a big division in terms of, is that something that's going to be affecting me? Can my family be deported? In my case, that's not an issue because everybody came here legally. So we look for other things that are important to us, the economy. What are the party that favors minorities? I got to say, you know, I am a Democrat. I have always been. I look at the policies that the Democratic Party have, and I have never been attracted to the Republicans as a party as a whole. They have always been anti-immigrants, anti-Latinos. However, I got to give it to them. When you look at somebody like Bush, he actually appointed more minorities to his mm-hmm. Cabinet than any Democrat that claims to be pro-Latino, I'm pro so and so on and so forth. So you get Bill Richardson, you know, practically that's about it. I mean, look at Alberto Gonzalez, look at Menendez, look at, I forgot his name, who he used to be, I think he's the Commerce, he's a Cuban-American.
Right.
So when I look at the records, even though I might disagree with the Republicans, they have been, Bush at least, has been more proactive in appointing Latinos and minorities.
All right, let me ask Louise Clemens to respond to you. Thanks so much for calling us, Robert.
Thank you.
I wonder if you can respond to what we're hearing there.
Sure can. I would say, first off, I mean, even though amnesty is now the new obscenity in the United States, fact is it was a Republican president, Ronald Reagan, who signed the last immigration amnesty into law in the late 80s. And clearly, President Bush had a great deal of success in pushing those numbers of Hispanic voter support from 30% to 40% in 4 years' time. That's a pretty dramatic shift. In terms of some of the other issues addressed as to the number of high-level appointments by the Bush administration, yes, we can point to any number of people.
Do you have a sense, Luis, that the Democrats were taking the Latino vote for granted and maybe now they aren't?
Well, I don't know if they were taking them for granted, but they are clearly not doing so now.
Right.
They're clearly very aggressively going after the Latino vote at many different levels, young, old, in between, firstborn, second generation, you name it, across the board.
One other thing, and then I want to take another call. You were mentioning earlier that Rudy Giuliani, who's banked his entire campaign at this moment, I think, on having success in Florida, would get a great deal of help in that, perhaps, from the Cuban vote there. But what? How would Giuliani fare with other Latino voters from different backgrounds in other states?
Well, we have to see if he gets through Florida first. But in terms of Florida, I think it is important to note that Cuban American Republicans could be an important part of a successful Giuliani strategy in Florida. How would he do elsewhere? Well, he had Latino support when he was elected mayor of New York. Roughly 40%, I believe, was the figure. So he has some history of appealing to Latino voters from very different, in a very diverse Latino city, such as New York.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a call now. We're going to go to Rosie, and she's calling from Marengo, Illinois. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I actually had I kind of agree with him, but not quite. I am a firstborn, born here in the United States. And I really do believe that even though, you know, it's said that Latinos, go more for Democratic. I really don't believe that that's true. I think we say that we are more liberal, but we're really not at heart. All of the people that I know, you know, they seem to support to be liberal and to go for, you know, the Clinton or to go for Democrats. And at the end, we really don't. At heart, most of us are, and I've come to see this, we're more conservative than anything. I mean, we usually vote on those issues that have to do with, I don't want to say religion, it doesn't have to do with religion, but with, you know, more moral. And I do believe that it really isn't as it seems, you know, because, I mean, I am unofficially a Republican, but I do have to say this time in, you know, at this point in time, I'm finding, for some odd reason, Barack quite appealing. And I've always voted Republican, voted twice for Bush. Even though I don't agree with what he's done, you know, issues that, you know, have come up. I am at heart completely Republican.
Let me ask Paul Taylor of the Pew Hispanic Center if there are any numbers on this. What Rosie is saying is she thinks that a lot of Latinos call themselves Democrat but really have more conservative ideas or values.
I think that we do.
Well, thanks so much for your call. I'm going to ask Paul Taylor to respond.
And I don't have the numbers at my fingertips, but the answer is yes, polling confirms that. Latinos, again, it's a mistake to describe them, you know, as a single block. But generally speaking, that population in all of its diversity embraces a number of what one might call traditional family values. And as they play out in the political sphere, whether it's around issues such as abortion or gay marriage or whatnot, you have a mix of opinions that may tend more towards the Republican or conservative side. No question about that. You probably you also have a mix of opinions on the economic issues that may tend more Democratic. So you have a cross-pressured community, which is one reason why it's been such an interesting community, and the feeling has been for quite a number of years now, it is somewhat up for grabs politically. So there's, as we talked about earlier, the Bush administration, the Bush years have gone very aggressively after the Latino vote, and it's paid off for them. But now, particularly with the emergence of the issue of illegal immigration and some of the hardline talk among a lot of the Republican candidates this year, there's now a question as to whether or not there won't be a move backward towards the Democrats.
All right, let's take a call now from Rick, and Rick is calling from San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Rick.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, one of the things that I worry about is that, you know, my parents are second and third generation Hispanics, and so the immigration isn't a big thing, but health care is. My mother took care of my grandfather until he passed away. You know, are looks like the Democrats are trying to fine-tune the existing health system, which is already kind of a known system, versus the Republicans that want to make a new system where you essentially have to go and shop for insurance. Well, quite frankly, you know, I don't want to have to shop for insurance. I want to know that my parents are going to have insurance and be covered when they get older.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Rick. We're going to ask our guests to respond. And I just want to remind listeners that we're discussing the Latino vote. Our guests are Paul Taylor, the acting director of Pew Hispanic Center, and Luis Clemens. He's the editor of CandidatoUSA.com. If you'd like to join our discussion, the number is 800-989-8255. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Luis Clemens, I wonder if you could respond to that caller. What I think is interesting, what I hear emerging that I find interesting is he's saying, well, health care is more important to us, clearly more important than immigration. And it seems to me you try and talk about Latino voters as a monolith, and first of all you find out, well, there are Cubans and there are Mexicans and there are Nicaraguans and Salvadorans and they all have different ideas, and then there are different generations, and then there are those that are new to the country and those that are old to the country, and those who have been here for several generations, you know, the same issues that are important to all Americans are important to them. I mean, how do you talk about this as one block of
you don't.
Voters?
You know, it's, you just don't, yeah. I think. And that's the first step. I mean, there's a phrase from Cuban slang, which is un arroz con mango, which means rice with mango. You don't mix the two. It really is a very complex group, and that is what makes it extremely exciting to cover and track and figure out how it is constantly evolving. You're talking about a group that is also extremely young. So the most dramatic changes are really yet to come. But, I mean, particularly to the issue of health care and addressing, again, the issue of whether or not Latinos are conservative. Ronald Reagan had the crack about Hispanics are Republicans. They just don't know it yet. And when it comes to certain issues regarding family values, they really are very conservative. But as Paul also pointed out, they can be very liberal when it comes to notions of government intervention in the economy. What is the proper role of government? And clearly, Democratic candidates are when they make an appeal to Latino voters, play up issues like health care and their stance on health care.
All right. Let's see if we can get one more call in here. We're going to go to Marcus, and Marcus is calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Hello, Marcos?
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. The my question was whether the polling that they have done, whether it shows just a blanket as a result of the hysteria or immigration, if there's a blanket antagonism resulting toward the Republican Party just across the board, even among traditionally Republican Latino voters as well. And the reason I'm asking is because I'm finding it real hard to vote Republican this year, although traditionally I've always voted Republican.
That's interesting. But Paul Taylor?
Yes. The numbers approval of Republicans in terms of policies towards immigration and in terms of general concerns towards Latinos are very low, even among Republicans. So I think that there has been a backlash among Latinos towards the policies of the Republicans with regard to immigration. There are also very different points of view. Latinos of all stripes in our survey, native-born, foreign-born, and most of the major population groups in terms of country of origin, have very different views than the public at large on enforcement policies, on the legislation that was proposed and ultimately didn't pass in Congress last summer. By and large, Latinos, even those who are native-born and have been here many generations, tend to see illegal immigration in a positive light. They believe on balance it's good rather than bad for our economy. They believe on balance it's good rather than bad for Latinos who already live here. This is very different from the views of the general population. So you have a dynamic in the presidential campaign where, by and large, it's not true of every candidate, but by and large, the Republican field has been hitting very hard on the issue of illegal immigration and appealing, by and large, to the full population. The Democrats really haven't fully embraced the issue, but I think that as we get to November, they will look for a way to in effect, to recapture some of what they've lost with the Latino vote on this issue. So it's going to set up a very interesting dynamic between the two parties.
All right. Thanks for your call, Marcos. And we just have about 30 seconds left. I'm just curious, Luis Clemens, if you, from just what you've heard today, even hear a candidate emerging that Latinos seem to be favoring.
Well, as Paul mentioned at the very beginning, the polling that we have of Hispanic voters dates back to before.
Quickly, we have to go quickly.
I'm sorry. Right now, it really looks like Hillary Clinton has the lead by quite a bit.
All right, great. Thanks so much. Luis Clemens is editor of CandidatoUSA.com, an online newsletter. We also spoke with Paul Taylor of the Pew Hispanic Center.